Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Welcome again into the house of the Lord. We're glad that you came today. God is moving. You can clearly feel his presence today. And we're going to get into our message. We're going to announce tomorrow night. We have been studying the patriarchs and basically how Laban represents the enemy of our lives. And it has been so interesting. I've seen things that I had never seen in the Word of God before. But how many of you are following what is happening? Our nation is experiencing an outpouring of revival. And if I wasn't here today, I'd be in Wilmore, Kentucky at the Asbury Revival that broke out on Wednesday and has not stopped. I want to give you a little history real quick because this is what our hearts are longing for, is the spirit of revival. That this college has a history of revival going back to 1905 in February. In a blizzard revival broke out in 1970, February, 2006, February. And now, since 11 a.m. on Wednesday morning, thousands of people in this nation are flocking to Kentucky to experience the Asbury Revival. And my nephew and I have been talking about this, and you can literally feel the presence of God from here. Even just speaking of it and seeing the online, that I could feel the fire of God and the presence of a holy God. And it has encouraged my heart. I pray that it encourages yours today. We are blessed. I want to tell you thank you again for praying for me. The doctor said this week, he said, I have never seen anyone whose eyes healed like yours as fast as they healed. Last week I had stitches, I had everything. And he said, it's because, you know, I had blood on the operating table. He said, it's because you have a great blood supply. And I pointed up and I said, and I do have a great blood supply. God is faithful, isn't he? He's a healer. But today, Pastor Ken and I, my brother and I, are going to share a message with you titled, Fear, You Don't Own Me. Now, you've probably heard messages on fear before, but I want to tell you that it is a killer. It can cause all kinds of physical problems. But here's the thing. When I look around and when I talk to people and counsel people on a weekly basis, I see people who are filled with, they're having panic attacks. They're having anxieties and depression, and all of it boils down to fear. The number one fear being death. The next is sickness, relationships, rejection. There's all kinds of things. But fear is a normal emotion, but we have to steward it. It's okay to have fear, experience the emotion of fear. It is not okay for fear to control you and have you. It's okay. I'm going to say that again. It's okay to have fear. It is not okay for fear to have you, because there's two different types of fear. One is the fear of God, awe and reverence, and the other is phobos, and it means to panic, dread. And how do I know if I have the wrong kind of fear, Pastor Ken? It's when your fears are irrational. They make no sense. You can't eat. They control your life. Then you know that I have a spirit of fear. And the Word said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And that's what we claim. But fear can control people. That's why I believe, you know, I'm not ashamed to tell you that in 2006, I experienced severe panic attacks. Praise God for overcoming fear. But, you know, when you have fear, you have no peace. You can't sleep. You can't function. And peace is not the absence of hardship or a difficult circumstance. It's the presence of God in the difficult circumstance. I can have peace in a storm. I can have peace if there was a robber in my house, because I know that I trust in the Lord. It's the presence of God. But I want to say a couple things and I'm going to hand this to Pastor Ken. Fear will keep you from your daily life. It will keep you from your destiny. The fear of man, the fear of the enemy, the fear of trouble, and it will keep you from doing what God has called you to do. You won't be willing to minister to people. You won't be willing to really praise the Lord because you're afraid of what people might think, what people might say. There's so many things that, but here I heard a saying that Joyce Meyer said, do it afraid. Don't let fear dominate your life. And when fear comes to the door of your heart, send Jesus to answer the door. Send Jesus to answer the door. The enemy says you won't make it. God says you will. The enemy says you're going to be sick. Jesus said, I'm your healer. So I want to say it like this. The truth of God's word will cancel out all fear and every lie of the enemy. And I just want to say, John 4:18 says, fear hath torment, and I'm not going to be bullied and tormented by an enemy who actually knows the truth of God's word.
Wow. There's just so much to unpack there. So this message on fear is going to be just very practical because every single one of us relate to this. Every single one of us relate to worry trying to control us. But I also want to give us the bigger picture, and I appreciate you talking. I didn't even realize that revival had happened. But over the past, yes, but I was going to say that what is so cool about that is over the past day, I've just felt like a fresh anointing of God coming, or fresh faith coming into my life. And I'm not sure what caused it other than I'm praying for it. I know that we've got to be hungry before we get that move of God. And I'm hungry for that. And I know you are too. So even though we're talking about fear today, the river of God is flowing. The presence of God is there, and I hope it's just not a few. I hope everyone can sense that, because if it's a river, it's for everyone. The river isn't for one person. It's for everybody to get in on this. And I feel like we're at a crossroads. That each of us today, you get to make that decision. Do you go left? Do you go right? Which way do you go? And I feel like there is the presence of God is being released. If we would yield to the presence of God, God would move stronger in our life. I don't want to live the rest of my life as a natural man who receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, just being affected by what I see and hear and smell and taste and feel. Instead, I want to be Spirit-led. But to be Spirit-led, there's got to be less of me and more of him. I've got to, and you have to, yield to the Holy Spirit to say, you're the one that's in charge, and I'm going to be in the background. So we'll talk a little bit more about that, but let's get back to the subject of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. What a powerful thought. You could replace spirit of fear with spirit of worry, spirit of lack, all those things that we are afraid of, but instead he's given us power and love and of a sound mind. Fear is usually of tomorrow, of things that haven't even happened yet. And I've realized in my own life that often I'm afraid of things that never did happen and probably never would happen. The Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing. And that's just not a throwaway scripture. If you and I could learn to throw away worry and to say, you know what, God's got this. I am leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm trusting in the shepherd to provide for me. I'm trusting that if I stay close to the shepherd, he'll protect me. He'll protect me from the enemies. Let me tell you something. There is such freedom in saying I'm not going to fear anymore. Alan just saying, you know, I refuse. I'm sorry. I've just decided to stop fearing and start trusting God. How many times did Jesus say, fear not, fear not? He was chiding them. He was letting them know, why are you so afraid? Trust in God. Trust in God. So there's freedom in being anxious for nothing. And we either believe that God can protect us, either he can or he won't. And I'm going to give you a real world example here. Fortunately, I had such a godly father, so that when I think of my relationship with my father, I can relate it to my heavenly father. But I don't ever remember being afraid of anything when I was with my dad. And let me tell you, I was in some situations that we definitely could have had some fear. But I just never did because my dad was large and in charge. You know, when there was he was so good in an emergency. He was, well, I mean, when I say good, he was ready to immediately take action. I remember one time we were at a golf driving range, and Dad had went to buy something, maybe some balls or something, and some guy started to harass me. And it was an older guy, too. I was like a teenager and this like 40, 50-year-old guy. I don't even, it wasn't me. It was him. But as he's harassing me, Dad sees this. And I realized this was going to be, fear was not in my heart. I was worried for this guy. I was thinking, you have no idea of the hornet's nest that you just stepped in. And here comes Dad, and he wasn't walking. He was marching with purpose. It was like, I've got a problem, and I'm about to solve it. And he told that guy, he said, you and your group, you leave right now. He goes, just leave. He just cast him out. He goes, you're leaving. He goes, and I was thinking to myself, please leave, please leave. And the guy thought about it, and he saw my dad, and he said, we're leaving, and he left. And that was the end of it. But the point is, when you're with your Heavenly Father, you're protected. You are protected. We will never be able to accomplish in our life what God means for you to do if you have fear. Now watch this. And I just thought of this. And Pam, I'm going to ask you to talk about King Saul and the fear he had. But this is my thought as you were speaking a minute ago. Because I was thinking about things that I am afraid of, but I still have to do the right thing. And here's the thought. Courage doesn't mean you don't have fear. It means that even if you do have fear, you still do what God requires you to do. Maybe David was completely fearless of Goliath. My knees would have been trembling. But I tell you, courage still goes out there. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come on. You're going to tell me there was no fear in those men? They knew they could die, but they still had the courage to say, we will not bow down to a false god. Our God is able to rescue us, but you know what? Even if he doesn't, throw us in the fire. Praise God for that kind of courage.
You know, when you were just talking about Dad, I've been in similar situations with him, and I won't go into it, but one day someone was kind of harassing Mom at Sears Outlet. I wasn't even supposed to be at Sears Outlet, but I happened to walk through the door, and there was my dad giving what for? And in the right way, like, this is wrong, this is unrighteous. You know, he stood up for what was right. But when, as you were telling that story, the thing that comes to my mind is that the good shepherd is always near. I don't have to worry. We never had to worry, Ken and I, because our dad was large and in charge. And we never one time asked, are the doors all locked? Are the windows locked tonight, Dad? Are you sure you've got this, Dad? Now, if anything should happen, I never even questioned that or had second thoughts because I knew that he was there. You know, we might have trouble, absolutely. But he was there when the good shepherd's in my life. I read a quote the other day that said, the wolf is not afraid of the sheep, but he is absolutely afraid of the shepherd. He's not afraid of the sheep, but he is afraid of the good shepherd because the good shepherd will step in. You know, but fear can so control us if we're not careful. Fear will either control you. You will either conquer fear or fear will conquer you. I can tell you that. It's going to work one way or the other. Because we all are faced with fear. One of the stories I love that Ken was referring to in 1 Samuel was when Saul had waited 7 days and Samuel the prophet was supposed to come. Samuel didn't come, and Saul's men began to kind of scatter, and he was afraid. Wait a minute, I'm losing my people. That's called the fear of man, by the way. And so he said, bring me the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings, and Saul offered the burnt offerings. Now, this was a transgression of what God wanted done. And Samuel came and confronted him, what have you done? And here's what he said. He said, the men were scattering, you didn't come at the right time, and I was afraid that I had not yet sought the Lord's favor, and so I felt like I had to do it. He was in fear, and let me tell you, it cost him his destiny. It cost him his position, it cost him his destiny. He was fear of man, his own men, and he was fear of the enemy. But here's the problem. He had no fear of God. He had no honor and respect of God's law. You know, when I fear the Lord, then I don't have to fear the enemy. Does that make sense to anybody? If I fear and I honor God and I have the good shepherd close, I do not have to worry about any enemy that who can come against me if the Lord is on my side. And he is, and it cost Saul the kingdom. But there's even more than that. Do you know that Saul eventually had a tormenting spirit? That spirit became not just fear, not the emotion fear, it became a demon of fear, a tormenting spirit of fear. The way to battle is, and let me tell you this, fear will keep you from laying hands on people because the enemy will tell you, you don't need to do that. You better be concerned because if you tell that person that Jesus is the healer and they don't get healed, they're coming right back to you. You know what? It'll keep you from tithing. It'll keep you from loving other people. It'll keep you from forgiving people. But the way to battle fear is with the truth. Perfect love casts out all fear. To love God and to know God's love for you. We have some crazy, crazy fears. But one of the ones for me personally, because I am a believer and a pastor, was I was afraid to step out in faith and minister and pray for people, especially people that were very, very ill, because I know something that they don't know. I can't even heal a sore throat. I'm just giving you my resume here. Cannot heal sore throats, cannot heal your cough or anything. But here's the thing. When we do our part, God does his part. If I will, in obedience, lay hands on people, I will see signs and wonders and miracles. Because, as I said, I cannot help you. If I was going to help you, I would say, okay, you know, Lily, you got a sore throat. We're going to gargle with some salt water. That's best I can do. Best I can do some Halls. We're going to get you set up with some Halls. But I didn't want to really pray for people, like people that had cancer and things. And actually, it was Sister Wanda was the first one that I laid hands on and prayed for healing of cancer. Kathy Padgett was the second. And I am so thankful that Jesus is the healer, that Jesus is the cure. But we all have a part to play, you know. And I think that we don't need to allow fear to keep us from doing what we're supposed to do because we are the hands and feet of Jesus. I was telling my brother, I had written something online that just so many people asked me about and wrote me about, would you talk to me? That, you know, we hear lots and lots of sermons, and of course we're supposed to do that, but a sermon isn't going to cut it. We are the hands and feet of Jesus, and we're the ears. And we're the mouthpiece of Jesus. And they need to hear it from us. And they need someone to listen to them. And we don't need to let fear stop us. I want to say that we need to take a bold step of faith in these last days and speak to anybody and everybody about the truth of the gospel. Having said that, I just want to say that if anybody ever needs somebody to listen to, you can call me. I'm here.
What was the thing that you
posted online? It was the thing about people had... I had been asked a question, why do all of these people call you? Why do they call you to talk to you? And I said, because a sermon just doesn't cut it. You could say, well, I talked to all these people. And here's another thing I posted. I said, you know, it's easy to tell. If Frida comes and says, you know, I've got this serious problem, it's easy for me to say, well, have you heard my series on serious problems yet? It's out there, Frida. Or I could tell her, you know, Frida, you can talk to Jesus. He's listening. And while that's the truth, Jesus is in heaven interceding, and I am here, and I am supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So it's too easy for us to tell people, you just talk to Jesus, because we are here to help one another and bless one another, and I am supposed to be the one that's listening. That's why God gave me ears, and he gave me and if I don't listen to you, Frida, then I have no right to speak to you, to speak into, if I don't care, right? So we have to be bold in our faith, and we have to do the right, we have to just do the right thing. And it's not just all wrapped up in a sermon. It's wrapped up in loving one another.
Iron sharpens iron. Like yesterday, I just want to give a shout out to our men's group. We all met at a restaurant, and we were all sharing our favorite scriptures. And that encouraged me so much. You know, Barney, you were very encouraging yesterday. We were talking about resting in God yesterday. So it became a theme that even carries over today, that if we can just rest in God and trust him. I keep thinking that, and I know we all think that there's more to life than just the 9-to-5 routine, getting up and doing the same thing week after week. God has more for your life. He had more for everybody's life. He called them out of ordinary lives. Peter was a fisherman, but he got called out of ordinary and to become, he still was a fisherman, but now he was a fisher of men. God wants to change your dreams also. You know that there's more, and that more is allowing God to work through our life. I was thinking, if when you write your resume, you ever wrote your resume, and then you look at your resume and you go, wow, that's pretty impressive. When you put it all on paper, when you do your resume, that's the best you, right? You go, here's the colleges, here's the grades I got. It's the I love me. These are all my accomplishments. What I'm saying is, when you meet someone, you present the best you that there is. And if you were to describe yourself, and you would say, I'm gentle and I'm kind and I have integrity. You describe the best you. You know what the best you is. And so I want to encourage you that those things that are not unimportant, gentleness and kindness and loving people and having compassion, all having integrity, all those things are so important to develop the fruit of the Spirit in your life, because that is who you were meant to be. You are meant to carry His love. You're meant to carry His joy. I want to give you a little mini testimony here, because I said that I believe that there's a new move of God happening. You know God wants that. That's not a prophetic word. God wants us to be filled with the Spirit. He tells us that the Spirit of God would be poured out on all flesh, not some flesh. So since God wants that, and if we want that, that could change your day-to-day life. If the Spirit of God, if we were yielding to the Spirit of God, instead of worrying about our bills and worrying about the future and worrying about sickness and disease and being so invested in the world news and what's happening with Beyonce and what's happening with... I'm just amazed at that the world is so consumed with celebrities and politics, and there's almost no room for God. You don't have time for God. And God is saying, could you just push away all that cotton candy? It's just cotton candy that does nothing. So the spirit of fear, getting rid of it, is just amazing. We were talking about different fears. I guess as a child, I had a fear of the dark. But I realized that as a Christian, I lost that fear. If I'm walking in the dark, I'm only afraid about stubbing my toe. I'm not afraid of some demon behind the corner or some man with an axe. You know, I've lost that fear. But there's so many fears that can, and you said it, perfect love cast out fear because it's trusting in God. So I'll tell a story on Pam. She used to really be afraid of flying. Almost to the point that you would not want to fly a commercial airline with her because you're afraid that they're going to end up giving her a sedative or something. So this really had gripped her at a time in her life. And when I got my pilot's license, of course, I wanted to take her flying. Now, here's the story, though. We eventually got over that. But I remember the first time I took her flying. So we're in a little two-seater plane. And as soon as we take off, I don't know if you remember your first words, but after we took off, she said, I smell gas. She was just sure that the plane was about to blow up. But I had this, we went a couple of times and she got more and more comfortable to the point where I had this photography thing I wanted to do. I wanted to get right over the Sears Tower and get a picture of it directly down, you know, for a couple of thousand feet above it, just looking directly down on it. The only way to do that, because I was in a low-wing plane, there's only two ways to do that. One is dive towards the Sears Tower, which I didn't think they would appreciate a plane diving towards the Sears Tower, but that would have got the shot. But the other way was to put the plane in about an 80 or 90 degree bank, which means that Pam, her window is now looking down at the Sears Tower. So she was the photographer, and we did it. So this was an extreme, and I had to really watch the airplane because I was doing an extreme maneuver. So she's taking the pictures, and but I'm saying she got over that fear. But think about what we were doing. We were, you know, thousands of feet in the air, you know, at a 90-degree angle. But when you are trusting in God, you feel like you're God's holding you up. God is holding you up. And to be free of fear and is just to let go of it. Just to let go of it.
Well, he's not telling the best part. We would go up flying after that. I got comfortable with it. And there were times when he would mess with me. He would say, I think something's wrong. I don't know what's wrong. And I'd be like, what's wrong? Do we have gas? I mean, who does that? Evil. Evil. Repentance. Yes. What's wrong? I think something's wrong. But it's okay. It keeps your heart pumping, you know. It reminds me of a little girl. I read this thing about a little girl. Someone asked, said, how do you know that Jesus is in your heart? And she said, if you hold your hand right here, you can hear him walking around inside. You know, it's true when Jesus is with you. And if you're on the battlefield, you need to know that God is with you. And you're like, well, I'm not on a battlefield. Yes, you are. You are on a battlefield. And Jesus is with you. And one of the things that I love when I think of the Bible, I think of David and Goliath, Ken referenced earlier, and it's that David did not run from Goliath. David ran to Goliath. And there are times when you're going to have to confront your fears, and you're just going to have to go and face it, no matter. But you need to know, of course, Joshua 1:9, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, even when you go to confront your fear, wherever you're at, if you're in an airplane, if you're high and if you're low. Low I am with you always, you know. Something that I wanted to talk about, you know, I believe that God is doing a new thing and we don't need to be afraid. I used to even be afraid of revival and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, believe it or not, because I thought, I don't want the Holy Spirit. I don't want him to do crazy things, you know, people flailing and, you know, weeping and wailing and falling on the ground. That is not my style until it happened to me. Do the Brownsville revival that came here, Gail Howard Brown. But one of the things that I can't help thinking about, Ken, was that the Grammys. How many of you know, did you see the awful, awful devil worship on the Grammys this week? It was satanic to the max. But watch this. On Wednesday morning at 11 a.m., God started putting on his own show. And thousands of people, not just a couple hundred thousand like at the Grammys, there are people flocking from all over the nation. God is not going to be mocked, and he will not be outdone. And if the devil thinks he's got a show to put on, I got news for you. God's show, his fire, his light show, going to be greater and more powerful than anything you ever seen in your life. I'm telling you that God is doing a new thing. And, you know, I liked what you said that you had felt that, because ever since I started watching the videos and just experience it and we started talking about it, my heart just started increasing and beating faster. Like, Lord, that's what we need. Lord, that's... And then my prayer became, God, that's what I need. That's what I desire. And I could literally feel it flowing. I'm not afraid of a move of God. I want the move of God, because that's the love of God that will cast out all fear. You know, I had an experience that I'm reminded of, that 2 years ago, I went in for a test because they called me in for a second round of testing. It was a little over 2 years ago, and they said that they felt like something was wrong. Sandra went with me, and I went in for the test, and I thought, well, they'll find out nothing's wrong. But that's not what happened. The radiologist came in, and she said, we have seen some abnormalities once again, and I'm going to have to go call in the head doctor. It might be a few minutes. They left me in the room for about 15 minutes, which seemed like 15 years. 15 years, a lot of time to pray. But I felt, as I was talking to God, I felt like he was telling me, the Holy Spirit, make your decision now. Make your decision now. Choose right now who you will believe. And I said, Lord, whatever they come in this room and say, they've already told me there's abnormalities. whatever they come in here, I am going to choose not to fear. I'm not going to go insane. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to carry on. I'm going to get my information. And I am definitely not going out there and bother Sandra with this, because I knew that she would just be so broken. And they came in the room and openly they were discussing, do you think this looks like? Do you think this looks like? And the head doctor said, it's not. It's not. She started comparing. She said, it's not. She said, and it took a few minutes, and she said, you're free to go. And all I could think of was, Emmanuel, God with us, Jehovah Rapha, you are my healer. Could there have been something? Possibly. Could God have healed it in that short of time? Absolutely, 100%. So either you conquer fear or fear will conquer you. I'm going to read a verse, Matthew 6:34, because we're getting close to closing right now. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has trouble of its own, and to worry about tomorrow is what's going to rob you of your today. And I believe that the number one way to conquer fear is to develop the fear of the Lord. Fear the Lord God, and you will not be afraid of man. You will not be afraid of dying, because you know that you have the hope of heaven. It will keep you from your destiny if you fear. And King David told his son, Solomon, he said, you don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. And that's what I want to tell my children. My advice, get yourself go and buy yourself a soft pillow tonight and sleep well, because God's got this. He's got this.
We're going to close with a worship song. We ask our singers to come up, the people on the worship team. We're going to do Jesus, Lover of My Soul, just because I love that song. Don't ever do this. Don't ever sit there and count your worries. This is a horrible thing to do. But if you did it, you would find yourself depressed. If you thought about your health, if you thought about your finances, if you thought about your children, if you thought about the future, if you thought about getting old, all of those lies from the enemy, none of those things you should fear. Why shouldn't you fear getting old? Because you're an eternal being. Eternal beings don't get old. You can't get old. You shouldn't fear for provision. So as I actually started thinking about some of the issues that I have, and I have a doctor story too. My doctor, about my eyes, I said, can you do anything? He said, absolutely no. There's nothing. And what hit my heart was such joy when he said that. You'd say, that doesn't make sense. The doctor just said, because I thought to myself, there's no plan B. There's just plan Jesus. There's just forget not his benefits. I don't want to. What are the benefits? Well, don't forget them. There's two of them. He forgives all he forgives all your sins, and he heals all your diseases. Those are only two things to remember. That's pretty easy. We don't forget those things. And as I started down this path of thinking about some of the things wrong with my life, something supernatural happened, Pam. It was like a wave of joy hit my life, and the only thing I could think of is how incredibly blessed I was. Instead of thinking about what about this and what about that, I just thought, I am so incredibly blessed. And if there would be less of me and more of God, I could be a vessel that God could use if I could get out of the way. As we worship this morning, treat this as an altar call. Treat this as a decision that before you lies these two paths. In one path, you just continue to live week to week, pay your bills, and live as a natural man who receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But the other path is a path where it's a path of adventure, where you yield to the Holy Spirit and you say, make me the best person. I want to be the person you made me to be, as gentle, as kind, as loving, and as anointed as I can be with me being out of the way. He forgives all our sins. Let me say something about that. I need forgiveness of sins. You have a pastor who is a sinner. I am so thankful for the blood of Jesus who forgives all of my sins. You need forgiveness of sin. Don't be embarrassed to tell God I'm a sinner, because you are. He knows it. But thank God for the blood of Christ, and more than just forgiveness of sin. Ask God this morning for the Holy Spirit. The Bible says if you draw close to Him, He'll draw close to you.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.